Welcome to Leave My Business Well podcast. Are you a business owner who plans to leave your business in the next 10 years? Or perhaps you're a business owner looking to protect your business in case of emergencies. Maybe you're a key employee looking to poise yourself as a future owner. Join Derek Moffitt and the Leave My Business Well team as we tackle the exit strategy challenges facing more than 33 million small businesses in America. Business builder, you've built something great. Let us help you leave it well.
Everyone leaves their business. You either leave it by disaster, you leave it by death, or you leave it by design. Welcome to the Leave My Business Well podcast, the financial planning podcast for business builders who want to leave their business by design and flourish throughout retirement and life. My name is Derek Moffitt. I'm a certified financial planner and a certified exit planner and a business owner. And I'm here with my partner and co-owner, Jennifer, my wife of 28 years.
Hey, business builders. We're so glad you're here today. You guys are job creators, you're risk takers, and the backbone of our community. And we're so happy to have you join us today. So, Derek, what have you got for us today?
Well, today we're going to talk about the keg.
The keg, yes.
Selling your business to key employee groups. Yeah, not a party. Selling your business to key employee groups. That's what we're going to talk about today. Let me tell you a story. There was this guy named John, and he owned a plumbing business. And his plan was to give his business or sell it to his key employee. This guy had worked for him for a long, long time. And so he made a deal. He sold it on an installment note sale, which means this employee is going to pay him out over time. Well, the employee just didn't have the acumen to really run the business. And so the business began to fail. And the employee stopped making payments. And eventually, he stopped making all payments to other creditors and everything. And John had to come back in, take over the business. So he was no longer retired and no longer selling his business. He was the owner again, trying to salvage what was left of his 40 years career as a plumber and a business owner.
Wow, that's terrible.
It is terrible. And so what we're going to talk about today is selling your business to key employees in a way that gets you out successfully and is successful for your employees as well.
In addition to that, at the end of this podcast, stay tuned and Derek will share a personal financial planning tip.
That's right. All right, let's talk about the keg, key employee groups. You know, any owner who considers a transfer to key employees hopes to achieve several objectives. There's lots of reasons why you would want to give your business or sell your business to key employees. Number one, they may want to put their company in the hands of a known entity. Often these key employees have worked decades with this owner. They've helped build the business. That the owner feels a sense of obligation to them and responsibility and really cares about them and cares about their family and cares about their business and their customers. And so the idea of selling that to these people that have helped them make this business successful is really, really appealing.
Probably takes away some of that fear of the unknown. How would a stranger right. handle my customers? Will a stranger know that Mr. Jones really likes to be greeted with that takes away all that unknown when you've got a key employee there.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so it's really an appealing way. They also may want to protect the culture of the company. This is similar as what we talked about in the last episode about all in the family, you know, keeping the business in the family. This is a way for that employer to or that owner to keep that company culture, maybe their vision, their mission. You know, maybe they have a really strong belief in serving the community. And so they feel like if we hand this over to these key employees, then that employee is going to continue to keep the culture alive that they've worked so hard to create over the years. You know, often it's keeping the company in the community. You know, I think really great businesses are great community citizens. And so often they serve a particular community. And if you sell to a third party, maybe they close down, maybe they take jobs out of that community and roll it up to a larger corporate setting or something. And so the owner may feel like he has an obligation to the community that's helped him become successful to keep those jobs, to keep those employees, and those people in that community and working.
Well, I know we're in the state of Texas, and Texas is known for having our pride in our state.
That's right.
And just recently in our community, two really popular restaurants were sold to an out-of-state ownership group. And there's been such an uproar in the community about would the values that we have that we have at that restaurant, the things we enjoy at that restaurant, are they going to really change if this other big bad state takes ownership?
That's right. And yes, we are in the great state of Texas, and so that's a big deal. But often owners feel that same sort of obligation to their community. They want to make sure they protect that. You know, sometimes owners aren't ready to completely exit the business, you know, and so transferring or selling to key employees is a way for them to stay involved in the business over time as well. And that's a goal for several of our clients.
We know people who have grown up in the workshop, so to speak, and then they became the owner. And when they transfer to other employees, they're not exactly sure what to do with themselves,
right,
you know? And so being able to still come in a few days a week, being able to still kind of look over things now and then is sometimes helpful.
It is. And finally, you know, business builders and owners often want to achieve financial security. You know, we talk about that a lot from the exit planning standpoint, that, you know, we want clients to exit in a way that gets them financially independent. And so being able to sell to key employees keeps that business going, and it helps the owner achieve their financial independence goals as well. And so those are lots of the reasons why we find people wanting to sell to their key employees.
But those ways don't always work. There
nope.
are some perils too, right?
Yeah. One of the big perils is that without planning, key employees often don't have the cash at hand to make the purchase of the business. And so as a result, the owner doesn't think, you know, I can't sell to my employees because there's just not enough money there.
Well, are there strategies for that? Are there things that can be done about that?
Yeah, absolutely. There are ways that you can work with a key employee group to transfer that business over time and still get paid. And this is where that focus on not selling the business, but getting the owner financially independent is really, really critical, because there's lots of ways we can use cash flow to pay that owner the sum that they need to be financially independent while still transferring that in a successful way to the key employees. And so often people that don't have cash, we can leverage the cash flow, and we can work with them in a way that gets both parties satisfied, the key employee ownership and the owner fully paid.
So I would think then if you've got a key employee there, that another aspect that might be a problem is ongoing financial risk for the owner.
Right, as in the story that we talked about, right, where John continued to face financial risk and never got paid for his business. In fact, when he took it over, there wasn't much of a business left. And so one of the principles we operate with in the exit planning process is we don't want to give up control until the owners have been fully paid. So again, we've talked about a lot, there's a difference between control and ownership. So we can begin transferring ownership to that in key employee group, but leave the owner in control until they get all the money out of the business that they need to be financially independent. And so again, this requires time, and it requires planning, and it requires cooperation between the key employee group and the owner. But the bottom line is, you own the business, you built the business, you need to be financially independent when you exit, and we want to make sure you're not giving up control until you achieve that goal.
So the owner may need to stay involved even after the sale to help ensure that they do get paid and that the business stays intact.
Right, exactly right. So sometimes the owners can't completely exit as fast as they want to in these types of strategies because of waiting to make sure they get completely paid before they give up control. And it does require some ongoing management sometimes. This is where having systems and processes and people that are in place to really drive the results of the company become really, really critical. And I would say, you know, when you're doing your exit plan, there's a lot of things you're going to do no matter what pathway you choose that makes sense. One of those is building up a great management team. Regardless of who's going to take over your business, whether that's a third party, whether that's your family, whether that's your key employees, you got to have managers and leaders in place that can operate the company without your day-to-day involvement. That's absolutely critical, and that makes your business more valuable. The second thing I would say is you have to have real good financial systems in place and financial controls. We've all heard the nightmare stories, right, of the person who wakes up and finds out that someone has been stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from them over a period of time because they just didn't have good financial controls in place. So having good financial systems and controls is really essential to making any type of exit plan work well.
Well, it seems like, you know, if we're talking about the owner staying around post-closing too, that it would be important to have a really defined set of rules and of duties, mm-hmm. because you've now got a previous owner who's still there,
right,
and a current owner who's maybe not in full control. So who's doing what? Who's the boss? It seems like it would be really important to get that really well defined, what that transition of ownership is going to look like.
Yeah, I think that's really true. Everybody needs to have clear roles and responsibilities, and those change. One of the plans we're currently working on has these two young guys that are going to, you know, potentially buy the business, and the owners, and we're laying out a couple years worth of management development plans for them. And what's going to happen is the current owners are working full time today. But over the next 3 to 5 years, their day-to-day operational involvement begins to decline. The last 3 years of ownership for them will actually be very little operational involvement. And then in about year 7 or 8, they'll get fully bought out. And then they'll exit both control, they'll exit financially, and they'll have their exit from, you know, in terms of operations altogether. So it's kind of like this continuum. The management takes more and more responsibility and control while the current owners begin to wind down, and then eventually we get the owners completely paid, and now we hand over that control. Yeah.
So what if you don't have any key employees who are willing to take that ownership role?
Yeah, that's really important to know. Sometimes employees don't want ownership. They don't want the responsibilities. You know, I had a business owner tell me one time, you know, the great thing about going to work in business is you can work half days, right? That's the idea. You think that you can work, you know, do whatever you want to. The time is yours. You have all this freedom. That's right. You can set your own hours. And this lady said, that's absolutely true. You can work any 12-hour shift you want to. And sometimes employees don't realize that things that you do as an owner, there's late nights involved. There's work that has to be done. There's financial risk that they have to assume. And a lot of times they just don't want that. They're happy to be an employee. And one of the things that's challenging for those of us that are owners and business builders is understanding that there are certain groups of people that are happy to be employees. They like the predictability. They like the limited responsibility and accountability, and they don't want to own all the risk that goes with that. And as a result, they don't get to own all the return either, but they're okay with that. And that doesn't make sense to me. I've always wanted to own my own business, and that's why I do. But there are people that's what they want to do, and that's okay. So if you don't have people that want to buy your business, you either A, have to go bring people in, if that's what you want to do, or choose another pathway, because one of the worst things you can do is sell a business or transfer a business to someone who's not ready, capable, or wanting really to do the work that's going to be required to be successful.
So if you do have key employee group there that does want to buy the business,
right,
whether it's one employee or a group of employees, is there only one way to get that done?
No, there's lots of ways you can get that done. You know, commonly, what most people do, they do a long-term installment note. And this is probably my least favorite way of doing it, right? Because it puts so much risk on that departing owner. You know, the owner sells the business, he writes a long-term, I'm going to pay you out over a period of time. And so then the business fails, like we talked about. So I think there's a lot of financial risk with that, but it is an option. You could do a leveraged buyout, which means the employees borrow money to pay the owner out. And so that would be, one type. If the company doesn't have much debt, if there's lots of good assets there, if the key employees have strong financials, they can go borrow the money from the bank, just write a check and be done. And there's benefits from that. Now we don't have that financial, that owner at risk, mm-hmm. whether they're going to get paid or not. The disadvantage for the key employees is they're carrying all the financial risk now, right? Because they have a bank to pay, and banks are sometimes maybe not as forgiving as previous owners are. So they have to be able to make that payment. Cash flows have to be really, really strong, which goes back to financial systems and processes in place to have growing, steady, predictable cash flows to make that type of plan work. But a third way is kind of a gradual retirement. And this is kind of what we were talking about in the other example, where the employees get ownership in pieces. And so, for example, you might set up, like, let's say, a stock bonus plan where the employee has a goal to meet, or the employee group has a goal to meet, and they have to maybe increase revenue or increase profitability by X amount of dollars or percent. And if they do, you're going to give them a stock bonus. Well, now you've given them a stock bonus. They have 5, 10% ownership, let's say, and then they have cash flow associated with that. Then you can start to use that cash flow to help them acquire additional shares over time. And this might be a 3 to 4, 5 year process where they're gradually acquiring shares. When they have 40, 50% of the business, maybe then they're able to go out and finance the remaining buyout over time. And there's some strategies you can use in this to make that really affordable for the employee and very tax efficient for the company as well. And so I like this idea. You're giving up ownership. You're not giving up controls. Maybe you recapitalize. You're giving non-voting shares. So you remain in control of the whole process. But the employees are gradually taking ownership, gradually taking more responsibility. And then when they're ready, they can finish the buyout and buy the owner out.
That's a lot of good information. There's a lot there, a lot of opportunities and a lot of options within that plan. So while we process all that, let's take a minute with a break from our sponsors. And when we come back, Derek's going to give you a personal financial planning tip.
Welcome to Threadpool. We're an all-inclusive podcast factory. Podcast made easy. We operate with a done-for-you approach. If you have a great podcast concept, we can help make it a reality. In less than 8 weeks, we can have your amazing podcast fully produced, making you ready to share your podcast worldwide on all of the major podcast streaming platforms. Book a coaching session to see how we can work with you. We are Threadpool, revealing greatness.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with us through the break. I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Threadpool, and Chris Gifford for all of his hard work and generosity in helping us start this podcast, and then also to Coffee Redefined for allowing us to record in their beautiful setting. You know, what people missed during our break was our laughing, but also you getting on to me a little bit about all the financial speak that we did in that last segment. Point being, it's complicated, and you do need some time to really plan well to make sure that you're able to leave your business by design. It's not something you just do overnight.
So you promised us a personal financial planning topic.
You know, today's topic is do your estate plan. And make sure that your estate plan is in line with your business objectives. You know, the first step often in exit planning is doing business continuity planning, making sure there's a plan for your business to run if something were to happen to you and serve your estate well. But you also need to make sure that you have a will and you've thought through what you want to do and how you want that your assets to be left and how you want them to be transferred. And so I would tell you, spend the money to hire a really good estate planning attorney who can work with you well on that.
I was just thinking about the same thing, that whatever your business is, you're an expert at it, and you probably wouldn't want everyone else to try to do it themselves. And an estate planning attorney would tell you the same thing. In fact, our estate planning attorney, when we did our wills, told us that she once had a client who had, well, someone who should have been a client. She was once trying to unravel a mess for someone who had actually willed his home to two different people within the same will that he did himself online.
Yep.
So do yourself a favor and get yourself a professional who can help you with your estate plan.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an important thing to do.
Now, we just want to say thanks, Business Builders, for joining us today. We couldn't do this without you, and we're glad you're here. And we're glad you were with us today to talk about the KEG, the key employee groups that you might be selling to, and the pitfalls and challenges that can be associated with that. If you liked what you heard today or you got some benefit out of it, we would love to have you subscribe to the podcast and give us a thumbs up. Give us a review. Tell us what you really think. Just do it nicely. And recommend this podcast to your friends, to your family, to people who you think might learn something or who might need our help. You can also visit us at leavemybusinesswell.com and MoffittFinancialStrategies.com. And you can visit our Facebook pages at Leave My Business Well and Moffitt Financial Strategies, or Leave My Business Well on Twitter. You can also send us even an email or a snail mail. Just get in touch, and we'd look forward to hearing from you. And join us next time when we'll be talking about third-party sales.
Well, as always, we are grateful that you tuned in. Let me leave you with this parting disclosure from compliance. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references and historical and do not guarantee future results. All indices are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Consult your legal, tax, or financial advisor before making any decisions. Thank you again. We hope to see you next week when we talk about third-party sales.